I saw thee. If you will turn with me to the book of John, and I'm going to do a little bit more expository preaching this morning than sometimes. But in the first chapter of John, we're going to begin with the 35th verse, John 1, verse 35. Said again the next day after John stood and two of his disciples. Now, this is after, it picks up here in this first chapter of John to save a little time. John the Baptist had been preaching the Word of God. He'd been preaching a message of repentance. And he saw Jesus in those famous words, the wonderful truth that he spoke. When he saw Jesus, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." So that brings us to the 35th verse. And it said, "The next day after John stood, and two of his disciples." Now understand, just as Jesus had disciples, so did John the Baptist. So there were followers of John the Baptist that were under his ministry. They were learning from him. And they looked upon Jesus as he walked. He saith, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. So John the Baptist had been preaching a message of repentance and baptizing people, and there were those that were classified as disciples of John. And John recognized that Christ was the Lamb of God, the one who he had been preaching about. When he said, "There is one that cometh after me." And then when Jesus came along, John the Baptist recognized, "This is the one. This is the Messiah. This is the one whom I've been preaching about." So two of John's disciples left John the Baptist to follow Jesus. And we read in a couple of verses that was Andrew, was one of those. And most likely, it did not say it out, but it was most likely John who was the writer of this gospel. So understand that many times when we think about the disciples of Christ, we think about, Peter, James, and John, and Andrew out fishing with no knowledge of the Messiah. But here we recognize that Andrew and most likely John were disciples of John the Baptist. So they knew of one that was prophesied to come, and when they saw Christ and John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God," it's like, "I don't want to follow the messenger anymore. I want to follow the real thing. I don't want to follow someone that's talking about something to come. I want to follow Christ himself." And so they left John the Baptist to follow Jesus. And it is so today. Do you know that ministers should be preaching Jesus Christ? That's what John the Baptist was doing. But your call is not to follow a ministry today. Your job is not to follow. I've seen people that were enamored with a group or enamored with a minister. Our job is to point people to Jesus Christ. We need to get our eyes off of people. Listen to the message. When God inspires the message, I want you to listen to me this morning, but don't follow me. Follow me as I follow Christ, but get your eyes on Jesus. And that's what the followers of John the Baptist, Andrew and John, they had been following John the Baptist, but why do I want to settle for seconds? Why do I want to just follow a man that's preaching truth when I can follow Christ himself? And so they follow Jesus. And as people, we need to get our eyes on him. And then it said the two disciples heard him speak and they followed him. We need to leave everything this morning. We are called to leave everything to follow the Messiah, because he's the one that can minister to your needs. We don't read about John the Baptist working miracles. We don't read about John the Baptist casting out devils. We don't read about John the Baptist saying, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." He was preaching a message of repentance and get your eyes on God. Prepare your heart for the coming of the Messiah. But it is for us today, just like Andrew and John, they heard the call. They saw the Messiah and they left and they followed him. So is there anything holding you back this morning? What's holding you back from following the Messiah? So in verse 38, it said Jesus turned and saw them following. Because he's going by and they've been listening to John the Baptist. And now here's the Christ. I want to follow Jesus. And so they begin to follow him. And Jesus turned and he said, "What seek you? What are you looking for? Why are you following me?" And they said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master." "Rabbi, we want you are our teacher. You are the fulfillment of everything that we have been looking for. And we want to follow you. And where dwellest thou?" That was the question they asked. "Where dwellest thou?" In other words, we want to come and learn from you. Are we willing this morning to be taught by the Messiah? Are we willing to go where he goes, to follow where he leads, or are we bound to the things of this earth? You see, something that's very interesting, because this gospel of John that we're reading from this morning, that does not seem to directly correlate with what we read in the account of the book of Matthew, for example. However, this account here seems to be the first meeting that Andrew and John had with Christ himself, because it was before John the Baptist was imprisoned. All right? Because they were with John the Baptist. When Jesus came along and saw Peter and James and John and Andrew fishing, and he gave them a call and he said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." He was calling them to be apostles at that point. "I want you to leave your nets and follow me." They had already had interaction with Christ, because that occurred after John the Baptist had been put in prison. If you turn and read the account in Matthew, Jesus called these disciples after John was imprisoned. This account is before John was put in prison. Before John the Baptist was put in prison. And so they were interacting, so they knew the Messiah before he called them to leave all of their nets. Well, you know, Jesus is going to get there with you and with me. He's looking for people with a desire to follow him. Before they were called to be apostles, they left John the Baptist to follow Jesus. "Lord, we want you to teach us. We want to know, we want to hear the words of life. We want to know, where are you going, Lord? We want to dwell with you." And so then in verse 39, Jesus said unto them, "Come and see." In other words, they asked him a question, where are you going? Where do you dwell? He's like, "Go ahead and come with me." They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. So it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they began to follow Jesus. And they said, "Lord, where are you going?" In other words, "Lord, we're not just taking your time, but we would like to go where you're going. We would like to go where you're dwelling, that we can just spend the evening with you and we can learn from you." Well, come and see for yourself. Do you know the Lord won't turn us away if we have a desire to learn from the Lord? If we have a desire this morning that supersedes our desire to go fishing. If we have a desire this morning that supersedes our desire for economic gain. That, "Lord, I'm willing to lay this aside at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, when I could be out mending my nets and preparing for tomorrow. Lord, I want to learn from you. Can I come with you, Lord?" The Lord is not going to turn us away. You know, this morning, if people anywhere have an honest heart and a desire for the things of God, the Lord will not turn them away. And Jesus said, just come on and see for yourself where I'm going. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. So here we know it was Andrew. He first findeth his own brother Simon and said unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. Is it not noteworthy that when Andrew found the Messiah, he went and told someone about it? This is the one we've been reading about. Hey, brother, who did he start with? He started with his family. Do you know that's your mission field to start with? Start with your family. He went to his brother, Peter. See, it wasn't Peter the first one. It was Andrew that met Christ first. And then he went to Peter, and he first findeth his brother and said, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted Christ, or the Anointed One. That lets us know that these men were not ignorant of the prophecies. They were not ignorant of the prophecies that pointed to the coming of the Messiah. They were looking for the Messiah. They were looking for someone to come in the fulfillment, being the Son of God, and they had been looking for that. And now Andrew goes to his brother and says, hey, Peter, you know the one we've been reading about? We found him. Come with us. Come with us. We found him. And then it goes on to say, and being he brought him to Jesus. Oh, there's a message right there. Andrew brought Peter to Jesus. Who have you brought to Jesus this morning? Do you know when you find something that you believe in, we are not ashamed to share it with other people. When we find something that we really believe in, if it's a product, if it's something that works. See, I didn't hear what you said about washing windows. I'm interested now. I wasn't in here. I want to know what's this little trick to washing windows right. But do you realize that when you believe in something, you're not ashamed to share it, are you? If you believe in something, are we ashamed of the gospel of Christ this morning? Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The enemy would like to put a muffler on us, folks. The enemy would like to cause us to feel, the enemy wants us to feel like that we are second-class citizens. Well, if you're a Christian, you're just not quite as intelligent, or you're just kind of second-class, or you're just kind of inferior intellectually. I have news for the devil this morning. That's a lie. The devil is a liar. The wisest people are those that follow Christ. Should we be ashamed then to declare that? Should we be ashamed to go to our brother and say, I found it? You know, we've been looking, I found the Messiah. Are we ashamed to go to town and acknowledge that, yes, we are Christ, we are followers of Jesus Christ? Are we inferior this morning because we are Christians? Are we inferior? Or do we just not get the things of this world, and it's because of that that we're just kind of following some philosophy or something? I believe this morning because I have seen the power of the Messiah. I have experienced the anointing and the power of Jesus Christ. I've experienced a life change. Why then should we be quiet? Why then should we be hesitant? So Andrew was a good example for us. Oh, I found him, and he brought him to Christ. Lord, help us to do a better job this afternoon of knowing how to bring people to Christ. I want them to see Jesus for themselves. It's not about packing the chapel. Yes, that would be wonderful. But that's not what it's about. It's about bringing people to Christ. It is not about, I'm talking about the mission work. It's not about building, say, well, we have so many congregations. And so it's like, oh, we have? No, it's about bringing people to Jesus Christ. That someone's life was transformed. Just a little side note. There are many, a number of years ago when Ethan and I climbed Mount Melange, in Malawi. That's a whole story I've shared with some of you. But it was an 8-plus hour climb, and I did not think I would make it. but I knew there was no way up, down, and I had to go up. And you know when you're tired and you're hiking, you think, well, if I can just make it to that tree up there, I literally was, if I can just make it to that clump of grass. I was that worn out. I was wishing a helicopter would come and save me. There was no way to go. The only way to go was up, though. So we climbed and we made it to the top. Well, make a long story short. It's a good story, though. But we got to the top and we got to the little cabin that we were going to spend the night in. And there were four or five men that were working up there as fire watchers. So my son and I invited them to come in to join us for worship. Shared some of the word of God, and one of the men was addicted to some things, and he began asking, can I be free from this? He prayed and he got saved that night. It was torture to climb that mountain. We conquered it, but it was by God's grace, I'll say that. But there was a man that gave his heart to God that night. And I never saw the man again. And a year or two later, I got word that that man had gone out into eternity. And I asked someone, I said, do you know if he changed his life? Did he go? And they said, oh yes, he began worshiping somewhere and he turned his life around and he was a Christian from that night on. And I thought, that's what it's about. No matter what the sacrifice, no matter what the pain, God had a plan. And there was someone that was saved the fire of hell. And he made his peace with God. Lord, help us. See, it's not about building our kingdoms this morning. It's not about people that can, well, you can put your stamp of your name on it. No, it's about bringing people to Jesus Christ, that their life can be transformed. That now they're not a follower of me. They're a follower of Jesus Christ. And I say this morning, follow Jesus Christ wherever he leads, because he will not lead you wrong. So Andrew brought his brother, Peter, Simon, to Jesus. And Jesus beheld him and he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas. Do you know that word Jonah means dove? How would you like to be called a dove? Jesus looked on this man that was called a dove and he said, thou shalt be called from this time Cephas, which is the same translation as it would be Peter, which means a rock. See, I have a plan for you, Peter. You're going to be a rock, someone that is steadfast and solid and consistent. You see, when people come to Christ, he knows what their future is. And God has a plan for them. And you know, the Lord changes our name when we come to him. The Lord changes our name. And so then he said, which being interpreted by interpretation is a stone. And then verse 43, it says, the day following, so the next day Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and he found Philip, and he said unto him, follow me. And Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. See, he found someone else, and he said, I want you to follow me. Do you hear the word, the Spirit calling you? Do you know the Lord's calling all of us? He's saying, I want you to follow me. I want you to leave where you've been, and I want you to seek first the kingdom of God. I want you to follow me. Do you know this morning that when we leave our nets and we leave all of the things of this world, and it doesn't mean that everybody's supposed to go home and quit their job, but it means that, Lord, I'm putting you first in my life. I'm putting you first in my life. My priority, my affections, my time, my dreams, and my plans, and my goals are now centered around the fact that I have found the Messiah, and I found Christ. And I want to follow him. So Philip also heard the call of Christ, and he followed him. But take note of what Philip did when Christ called him. It said Philip went and found Nathanael. Do you see a commonality here of what Andrew did when he found Christ? He went and got his brother. And now we find Philip found Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. How did he know all of this? It was because these men, some of them ignorant and unlearned as classified in Acts, had studied the law. They had looked in, they knew that the prophets had prophesied of the coming of Jesus, and now they saw the fulfillment, and they said, we found the one that was prophesied, the one the prophets wrote about, this Jesus of Nazareth. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Can anything good thing come out of Nazareth? Now, you can take that one of two ways because, see, Nazareth was a very wicked place. It was an evil city. And so now you're saying the Son of God, the Messiah, is coming out of Nazareth? I mean, is that even possible for something good to come out of Nazareth? But the secondarily, they knew that the prophets prophesied that Christ would be born in Bethlehem. And so it's like, well, I was expecting the Christ to come from Bethlehem. Well, he was born in Bethlehem, but he came from Nazareth. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? So who was this man, Nathanael? Do you know we don't read about Nathanael in the rest of the Bible? There is a lot of speculation that Nathanael was the apostle Bartholomew. There are a number of historians that believe that, because when you list the apostles are listed out, it doesn't list Nathanael, but it lists Bartholomew. It's uncertain. Historically, there's some disagreement on that. We don't know factually. It is a possibility that his other name was Bartholomew, and that's this Nathanael that we read about. It's possible. But he said, can any good thing, and this is Philip's response. Philip said, come and see. You don't have to take my word for it. Do you know when we begin to share the gospel with people and they may not believe it, it's like you just expect me to just believe anything you say. Folks, you don't have to believe a word I say this morning, but come and see for yourself. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Truth stands on its own merits. Sometimes people start being contentious about, well, this is the doctrine, and they get militant about it. Folks, the truth stands on its own merit. You don't have to believe me this morning. I just want you to come and see. I found the Messiah. I found truth. I found something that sets us free from the power of sin. I found something that gives me life. I found something that gives me power to say no to self. I found something divine. You can argue theology all you want with me, but I found the Messiah, and I don't need to get militant in my discussions with you. All I can say is just come and see for yourself. Try it and see what happens, because everything I've read about, this is a fulfillment, and it works. And so Philip just said, come and see. So Jesus saw Nathanael. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and he said of him, behold an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Jesus sees us when we are headed his direction. He saw him coming, and this was his response. He said, behold an Israelite indeed. What is an Israelite indeed? You see, Israelites, by definition, were to be people that had a heart to follow God. And yet, we find the scribes and the Pharisees, their heart was far from God, and yet they were trying to keep the law religiously. They were servants of the law more than they were servants of God. Lord, help us. Should I repeat that? We can be servants of good traditions, servants of good doctrines, more than servants of God if we are not careful. Folks, be careful. If we are not being motivated by relationship with God, if we are not being motivated because I found the Messiah, and that's why I live like I live, what we will turn into is a people that have a set of creeds as true as they might be, of, well, we don't do this and we do this and we worship this way, and if we're not careful, we will start following those things more than God himself. And then we will have a tradition, a form of godliness, but denying the power. So when he looked on him then, he said, behold, an Israelite indeed. This is not just a cookie cutter Israelite now. Nathanael was someone, there's no guile in this man. Jesus spent a lot of his time addressing the hypocrisy of the Pharisees and the scribes. But when he saw Nathanael, he knew who he was. He knew his character. And he said, this is a man with no guile. He didn't say he was without sin, but this is a man that has no guile, no deceit, no dishonesty. May I ask you this morning, who are you? And that's maybe another message for another time. But who are you? Can the Lord look on us this morning as we begin to follow him and turn and say, wow, that is an Israelite indeed. This is someone that has no guile. Are you covering things up in your life this morning? Maybe you can wrap yourself in that security blanket of good traditions and modest dress and I don't have this and I don't go there and all in our piety. And yet, there's hidden things in our lives. And Jesus looked on Nathanael and said, wow, you're an Israelite indeed. There's no guile there. There's no deceit. You are who you say you are. Well, let's continue. And Nathanael said, whence knowest thou me? You see, there was something divine, and this is not necessarily, you won't get this from just reading that 47th verse. Because you could say, well, Jesus looked on him and said, yes, you're an Israelite indeed. What Jesus was doing was revealing the divine knowledge of the inner heart of Nathanael. Because Nathanael's response, and we can see it in the next couple of verses, Nathanael knew it was divine because he said, whence knowest thou me? In other words, how do you know my character? You're on target. I am an Israelite indeed, and there's no guile. I am what I am. He was acknowledging that Jesus knew divinely something about him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, before Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Before Philip even called you, I saw you under the fig tree. Now, what does that mean? It was not that Jesus physically saw Nathanael with his eyes, but it was customary for people to meditate and pray under trees. Okay? So when Nathanael had gone there, he didn't just say, I saw you under a tree. I saw you under the fig tree. I saw you when you were in prayer. I saw you when you were meditating. I saw you when you were looking into the scriptures. I saw your heart there. I wasn't there in person. But before Philip even called you, Nathanael, I saw you under the tree. I saw your heart. That's how I know you. Do you know that the Lord sees you this morning? And Jesus is saying, I saw thee. Can he say this morning that he sees us and says, ah, oh, there's no guile in him? When you pray and when you seek God and when you go to work and you go to town, Jesus sees exactly where and who you are this morning. I saw thee. That's how I know who you are, because I saw your heart. I saw what makes you tick, so to speak. I saw what motivates you. I saw your dreams, and I saw your plans, and I saw your affections, and I saw your attitudes, and I saw your desires. That's how I knew who you were, Nathanael. I saw you. Well, Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. I am convinced. You see, this is what lets us know it wasn't that Jesus had just inadvertently walked by and physically saw Nathanael under the fig tree. It was something divine that God saw his character. So it would be fair to ask us this morning, what does God see in your character when he looks at you this morning? And he's saying, I saw thee. Do you know that what you were doing yesterday, Jesus saw you? He knew your character. He knows why you're here this morning. He knows what you're going to do this week. He knows the essence of who you are. I saw thee. And Nathanael was convinced, truly, you've known my heart. You're divine. I believe. And then in verse 50, Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? You believe in my divinity now. You believe that I'm in the Messiah because I said I saw thee under the fig tree. I divinely revealed your character, and that was enough to convince you that I am the Messiah. And Jesus said, thou shalt see greater things than these. Nathanael, we're just getting started. Yes, I saw thee and I know who you are, but you keep following me and you are going to see greater things than that that will prove and demonstrate and show that I am the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. And then he concluded by saying this, he said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Nathanael, from this time, you're going to see heaven opened up, and you're going to see the power of God coming down upon my life with the divine message of the Father. Because Jesus did not come speaking of himself, he came speaking of the Father. The scripture says over in Proverbs 15:3, he said, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. I saw thee. He sees us this morning. He knows where we're at. He knows our heart. He knows if we're following him. And then David said over in Psalm 139, verse 1, he said, O Lord, thou hast searched me, and you've known me. You knowest my down sittings and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all of my ways. Folks, this morning, Jesus sees beyond the surface. Because when we came here this morning, we put on our nice clothes, we combed our hair, we're going to church service. But there's a whole lot more to me than what you see in a white shirt and suit coat this morning. And there's a whole lot more to you. The Lord sees our down sittings and our uprisings. He knows my failures. He knows my struggles. He knows my thoughts. He knows the purposes of my heart. And he's calling us to follow him. I see where you're at. In closing, in the fourth chapter of Hebrews, it said, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. This morning we can have a facade. We can cover. We can act like we're one thing when we're actually something else. We can put on a good front. People say, oh, you're looking good. And all the time inside you're struggling. Jesus knows exactly where we are this morning. And I want you to know that the Lord loves you this morning. He loves all of us. He knows your down sittings this morning. If you have some failure in your life that nobody knows about, Jesus saw you. And he cares about you. This is why he came to be our great high priest this morning. And when you are misunderstood by other people, and you might be misjudged by people, The Lord saw you. And there are some times you may be like, I'm so thankful the Lord knows that. If you've ever been falsely accused of something and all you could do is like, Lord, I'm glad you know the truth. I'm so glad you know the truth. Jesus sees us this morning, and we can come with assurance to the Messiah who is calling us still today to follow him. Because, folks, we found the truth. We found the answer this morning. It's not within these four walls. It's not in any creed of man, but it is in the Messiah, the Son of God. And I'm so thankful that he saw me, and he sees me this morning, and he sees exactly where we are. Amen.